Welcome to episode 3 of Message from Mom, where we, the Jalali girls, are busting the myth that daughters-in-laws don't love their mothers-in-law. So I'm joined by my lovely daughters-in-law. So I have Kelly to the left. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. So my name is Kelly, and I'm married to Beth's oldest. We've been married going on 5 years.
And to my right is Chelsea.
Hi, I'm Chelsea, and I'm married to Beth's middle child, Andrew, and we are newlyweds. We actually got married this past New Year's Eve.
Wonderful. So, all right, ladies, cheers to family, cheers to relationships. Let's over this way. So we are drinking, it's called the Intro to Aperol, and I actually introduced this cocktail to both of you, and I think
it's delicious.
It's one of your favorites to this
day. It is.
I think so. It is. So today, actually, we're talking all things wedding etiquette. And since we have a newlywed in the house, Chelsea, who just recently married,
as
she said, my middle son, Andrew. So Chelsea, so this was a very interesting statistic and actually kind of startling. So fewer than 50% of Americans are married these days in 2024. Mm-hmm. So you are a young professional. You married at 34 years old. So tell us just a little bit of why you decided to take the traditional route and get married.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for myself, I grew up and I always knew that I wanted to be married at some point in time. Mm-hmm. I didn't know when that would, let me take that back.
Full disclosure.
I feel like I was, you know, when you're in high school and you think to yourself, oh, I'm going to be married by 25, mm-hmm. I'll have, you know, 2 kids by 28, and this is how my life is going to go. Right. Obviously, that did not happen mm-hmm. for me, and got married at 34. I guess I met Andrew when I was 30, I think. I think I had just turned 30, or maybe I was 31.
Mm-hmm. I think 31. Maybe I think you met 31. You met in 2020. So 4 years ago.
Okay. So, early 30s, either way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hadn't been married yet, but I never envisioned myself having this huge wedding. Like, I actually always envisioned myself eloping. Mm-hmm. And, then when I met Andrew and he was like, oh no, we have to have a wedding. It was, the wedding was more fun.
He has a big friend base.
He's got way more friends than me. And, but when it comes down to like the actual, you know, act of getting married and why I did it, I wanted that partnership with someone, and I would like to have kids someday. And, you know, I grew up in a divorced household, and I wanted for nothing. I mean, my mom did everything that she could have done for me I always had everything.
Your mom
needed.
Wonderful.
It's awesome.
I love Chelsea's mom. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
She really is. She's so solid. And my hat's off to her being a single mom. That is not easy.
No, it wasn't easy. And I mean, she worked hard to make sure that I had everything that I did want. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, seeing what she went through to raise me as a single mom, I really did and do want that partner to raise my kids with, you know, could I do it by myself? Yes. I think anyone that has the grit and determination can do it by themselves. Mm-hmm. But, I wanted someone to be there for me and you know, help me through it.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately that's why, you know, and I wanted the partnership. Mm-hmm. And even if we don't have kids one day, I think it's still fine. We're still have that great, you know, partnership and connection.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful to hear, because really weddings have changed through the years. So I was married in 1983. Kelly, you were married in 2019.
Yes.
And then Chelsea in 2023. So really, I think wedding etiquette has changed through the years, because honestly, when I was married in 1983, even though the wedding was for me, it was like so much for my mom and, you know, for my parents and, you know, for their friend base and all of that, where I think these days it's more about like you had a very intimate wedding. It was a destination wedding.
Yes.
You had 40 people. It was
very small.
Mm-hmm. It was very small, but very beautiful. But all of your friends and family, all your loved ones were there. It wasn't, you know, I had like 300 people and maybe 150 of them, I didn't even know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which was, you know, kind of startling. I mean, did I know them? Yes. I mean, they were my parents' friends, but
sure.
Very, very different from what you experienced.
Yeah. Our wedding was entirely for us, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we obviously wanted everyone who came to feel like they were part of every detail, and they were. And having a very small wedding in an enclosed place, we rented an entire lodge mm-hmm. in the mountains in Oregon. And so the fact that it was just the 40 of us that were all there together for a few days before the wedding and then a week after the wedding, mm-hmm. those who wanted to stay could, those who had to leave did. But it meant that we all got to share the experience together in a way that most weddings you don't get to do, right? Because I'm sure you feel like this, but like your actual wedding day, you're so busy and you're being pulled here and there and you're doing all the things and it's all great and everything is of the moment. But then at the end of the day, you're like, that went by so fast. I hardly remember a single thing of it.
So quick,
you know? Yeah. And we still had that. We both still had that feeling, you know, on the wedding day itself. Mm-hmm. But then we had days afterwards with our friends and family who stayed to be able to reminisce and to still continue, you know, celebrating together. So that was actually really a thoughtful thing that we had intended to do with the wedding so that it did create memories for not just us, but everyone who was involved. Mm-hmm. So that was really important to us because it was actually my second wedding. Mm-hmm. And even though it was Alex's first wedding, luckily we were on the same page about what we mm-hmm. both wanted from the experience. Mm-hmm. So it was very different than any other wedding I've ever been to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
now what would you say would be the stress factor of planning your wedding?
Why?
Especially as a destination wedding.
Yeah, that was tough. We were in California, so Oregon wasn't super far away. We could drive there in about 5 hours, which we did to check everything out and to make sure that's the place we wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And that there was an airport nearby so that people who were traveling could get there easily. So that was important. But we didn't want to get married in the Bay Area in San Francisco because it was so expensive. And that was a big factor because we paid for everything ourselves. Mm-hmm. I planned every single thing by myself. Mm-hmm. So that was stressful, but we, you know, the internet thankfully is there to kind of guide you. Uh-huh. And we worked with really great people in Oregon.
Did you have a wedding coordinator?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't. I did everything all by myself. Mm-hmm. But the place that we rented, it was called La Loma Lodge and it's in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. The woman that owns and runs that lodge, she had a list of vendors who, you know, so that was helpful.
Yeah.
So we chose from a list of people who had mm-hmm. been there before, but we kept everything very simple with, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of did the modern thing with food truck catering mm-hmm. And all of that. So, you know, there are ways to make that sort of thing a lot easier, I think, on brides planning their own weddings now mm-hmm. because A, you have the internet and B, you have things like food truck.
Yeah.
Right.
And stuff like that. So it doesn't always have to be this very kind of rigid sit down plan for every single person that's coming kind of mm-hmm. thing, mm-hmm. which was really good in our.
Well, the vendor, I mean, I found that one of the most helpful things that my wedding coordinator gave to me was a vendor list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, not that like him on the actual wedding day was excellent to have him there, you know, making sure that everything is going. The timeline mm-hmm, right. is going as it should, mm-hmm. but the vendor list was key because same thing. I had a destination wedding in Savannah and we don't live in Savannah. It's 4 hours away or 4.5 hours away.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to know who to choose from the vast, you know?
So we just kind of, I mean, I think for me, and I don't know if you were like this on your wedding or about your wedding, but I was definitely not a bridezilla type. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I didn't care because mm-hmm. obviously I cared what everything looked like. And I am very type A when it comes to, you know, like I want to make sure that everything looks nice.
I believe you're a Virgo.
I am a Virgo. But I also, even all of my friends are like, oh my gosh, you're definitely not a bridezilla because my florist, I didn't even know what my flowers were going to look like until mm-hmm. she dropped them off.
They were beautiful. Yeah.
They were great, but I was slightly concerned.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But I know I've talked to some brides and they can definitely get a little bit more mm-hmm. bridezilla about the situation. But mm-hmm. we paid for our wedding too, mm-hmm. or at least the majority of it. And I think that kind of you know, I don't know how your wedding was and like the traditional aspect of being, you know, asked to invite a lot of people that maybe you didn't know, because we had a smaller wedding and it was our whole guest list was based all purely off of who me and Andrew invited.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, on that? Back in my day, destination weddings really weren't a thing at all.
Yeah.
They really weren't.
Yeah.
So you got married in your hometown. So even if you're away working, you would go back and get married in your hometown.
Right.
In your home, I mean, I was raised Catholic, so I was married in a Catholic church. We had a very traditional
wedding,
whole hour long.
Yeah.
Mass.
Was it like the noon or the noon wedding?
Yeah, the noon wedding. So we had a little space in between the mass and then the reception.
I attended my first Catholic wedding this summer.
Yeah.
Yes. So they're wholly a whole experience in and of itself. So I do think wedding etiquette, wedding culture has changed. And I do think it's definitely, I think COVID has also probably played a big factor into changing what the whole wedding culture.
Yeah.
Because pre-COVID, we were having these big lavish weddings and destination weddings, and a lot of time and effort and bridezillas were created, and we had that all that the TV shows that were depicting that
kind of.
Then COVID came along and, you know, just really kind of nixed that because no weddings were happening at all. And then now that they're starting to come back, but there again, the statistics are telling us a lot of people are choosing not to get married these days.
It's very interesting to me. Well, one interesting statistic, despite the fact that fewer than half the US population is married, the rate of weddings has gone back to pre-COVID levels.
Oh, okay. So we are
good. So, you know, people are like, and it, you know, there could have been a huge, and I'm sure that there were a huge number of people who were planning to get married during COVID.
Right.
And then COVID happened and they had to reschedule, and now they're getting back to it. So, you know, that could explain some of that, but, you know, so there is, you know, there's a dip when there's a pandemic or whatever in a lot of things, weddings being one of them. But then, you know, the fact that they have come back up to pre-COVID levels is good. I think that's nice.
And speaking to that, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but, and maybe I have noticed this just because I was, you know, just plan the wedding and this is very fresh. And I was, you know, going on to Pinterest and on TikTok and on social media and all of these things.
Yeah, thank goodness for Pinterest board.
Now, oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that, but honestly, I got on like a side of TikTok, like wedding talk. I think it's like called wedding talk.
Oh, is it?
And it's just, it was all on my For You page where it was like all about like, oh, well, I'm getting married. And I just remember some of these brides would pop up on my page and they were getting married in like 2025. And I mean, I like, they're not even married yet, but they're planning their wedding. And they're like, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this and this and this. And I'm like, I haven't even done that. And I'm getting married in 1 month. But I think too, it's become almost, and I guess I should say, I did care about how everything looked, but for a lot of people, I feel like it's become a big social media. Like, what are we going to post on TikTok? Like, are we going to post my wedding on Instagram? Like, how are the pictures going to turn out?
Well, not even
more than the actual experience itself.
Yeah. So not even that. Certainly one channel, but there is this other part of it that even when I was planning my wedding and I was looking at Pinterest for ideas and things, I think the idea of planning a wedding is just as important to a lot of folks as the wedding itself. So in the exact same vein of what you're talking about, which on the one hand, I think is actually pretty interesting, right? Because you have people engaging in creative thought processes and organizing their own ideas in a way that makes them feel good about an endeavor that they're going to embark on. Right. Yeah. I think that, those are positive qualities, right?
Yeah.
I think the idea of being more interested in how you're sharing your life online is way less good and interesting. Right. Like, I think, putting too much importance on how you're sharing these things on social media over the event even over the planning of it, whatever, right, is way more detrimental, I think, to somebody's enjoyment of and retain, like,
of the actual day.
Of the actual day. Like, how much you're enjoying it, how much you're engaged in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I think for all of us, like I was just saying earlier, and that we all agree, like, you have your wedding day and it goes by in a flash, and then you're like trying to remember the specific details, and then thank goodness, you know, a month or two later your photographer's like, here's your pictures, and you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah,
you know, and that's great and it's wonderful. But I think one of the things that I actually really enjoyed about where our wedding was that there was no cell phone service,
right,
in the Willamette Valley. Like, no one was on social media posting in the moment. There was no, you know, there was no distraction of any internet or social media. And I think that not having to tell people to put that stuff away was a relief for me, because I wanted it to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it just turned out that it had to be that way because of where we were.
Right.
But I've been to weddings. In fact, I was just at one in October in California, where they had asked everyone to please, you know, leave your, like, put your phone away. Don't bring your phone to the ceremony.
Oh, so they actually made an announcement about that.
Yes.
Okay.
They did.
That's very interesting.
And then they also made the point that
interesting.
A photographer, or
please don't worry. Yes, we have several photographers, and you couldn't miss the drone that was flying, you know, over.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think people are very keen to not want to take people out of the experience by having them engage in social media in the moment, right? But I do think that there is a whole culture that has sprung up. Pinterest probably had a really big part in making this a viable thing. But before Pinterest, you know, it was like cutting out magazine pictures and putting them literally on a pin board. Like, I used to do that. I used to make collages.
That's planning.
That's what I'm saying.
That's actual planning. Whereas the whole phenomenon of people just posting on social media.
Right.
And they make a full account about the wedding.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, not necessarily to say that that's wrong to do, because I think they have every right to do that. And if that's what they want to do, they can.
Sure.
I just, for me, you know, I just didn't really see the need to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I'm planning the wedding, but I don't need to post about it, you know?
Right.
Share every little detail.
Well, I think culturally, though, I think...
Because
Well, what I was saying, like, I think culturally there is this moment of where planning the wedding and really taking a super big part of that as being part of the experience as the bride, or as the bride and her bridesmaids or the maid of honor, has become such a thing that I don't think ever really, did you have that when you were?
Oh,
no.
Like the wedding party itself.
Or just people getting involved. Like, if say you don't have a wedding planner, even if you do have a wedding planner or somebody that is handling a lot of the heavy lifting for you, I think there is a super big culture pop-up of wedding planning as being like a really big part of the experience and industry that was never there before.
It was not, it hadn't really come into being when I was married in 1983, but I would definitely say it was there in the early 90s.
Mm.
So we'd already made that shift from mom and like my mom and I planned everything.
Right.
And then handing it over to the wedding planner to alleviate some of the pressure off of you, but somehow it seems like it maybe even added more pressure to you.
Right.
Because then the wedding takes on a whole different,
it's not
necessarily just a homegrown event. Mm-hmm.
I felt like, I mean, I loved my wedding coordinator and he was awesome. I do find that I am very type A, like we said, I'm a Virgo in some situations. And, there were times where I was like, okay,
I know
what's happening.
Right.
But I mean, they do, I guess, you know, to an extent, take off some, you know, alleviate some pressures to the situation.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do. But I just remember, and we watched that before you and Andrew got married when we were all at Tybee. And Andrew was kind of being, he was kind of being George Banks. That's why I said, let's watch Father the Bride, because he's coming along. And like George Banks was, he was like, so expensive. I pulled Andrew aside and I'm like, Chelsea's getting married once in her life. Don't ruin this.
Well, and I think too, and I don't know, I mean, I hopefully only plan to do this one time,
right.
You know, and I think most people hopefully only plan that, but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You do it one time, like you want to do it well and you want to make sure that it's done well.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You know, but even with the wedding planner involved, and so I am just harkening back to Father the Bride, and I'm not the original one with Elizabeth Taylor and Spencer mm-hmm. Tracy, which is absolutely adorable. But I mean, he was also having conniption fits about the cost of the wedding.
Right. Because
usually that can be very stressful.
When
you start to see what everything is going to cost.
Yeah. It's almost like a down payment on a house.
It really is.
And I think more people than ever nowadays, not only with planning their own weddings, mm-hmm. but they're paying for their own wedding.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Gone are the days where the expectation is that the bride's family is paying for the wedding and mm-hmm. what the groom's family pays for the rehearsal dinner or however that works.
Right.
But that is.
So this kind of leads me into like my next question mm-hmm. with the paying for the own wedding and mm-hmm. maybe doing a destination or mm-hmm. even if you're not doing destination, but you know, you are making the effort to pay for it. You've planned this whole party, mm-hmm. you know, you've maybe hired a wedding coordinator or you've mm-hmm. done it yourself mm-hmm. and you have people that decline the invite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you take that? Like, is it, mm-hmm. do you take it personally? Do you not take it personally? Like at what point in time when they decline, does it mm-hmm. become an issue?
Well,
okay. This is obviously fresh in my mind. But
I know. Well, I will just say this. If you know that you can't attend a wedding, because wedding invites go out 6 months mm-hmm. ahead.
Yeah.
And yeah. nowadays, save the date is a whole year ahead. So it's yeah. not as if you are yeah. caught by surprise mm-hmm. by a wedding that you've been invited to. So I truly do believe that the thoughtful thing to do is as soon as you know that you mm-hmm. cannot attend that wedding, then you send in your RSVP.
Yeah.
Right.
Because then there's no cost
to the bride and
the
groom,
bride or the groom
family
mm-hmm. yeah. mm-hmm. or their family, whoever is paying for the wedding, because you have deadlines that you have to meet
100%
with your caterers, with the reception hall. And I mean, typically it ends up being, you know, per head, you know, what your mm-hmm. cost of the wedding, you know, yeah. per person that's coming. So as soon as you know that you cannot attend a wedding or that you're coming, we need to let the bride and groom yeah. know. Of course, things are always going to come up at the very last minute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just life. We all know that. That's life. So we do have grace with that. But we also know that people can be just very, again, I think sometimes our manners, we need to put on our manner hat and think about, because it's about the bride and groom.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding is about the bride and groom. It's not about you.
Yeah.
And so if you've been invited, that's
a big honor.
I love to be invited to weddings personally. Yeah. I just love the whole celebration. And I do.
Mm-hmm.
I love the whole tradition. And I mean, just every aspect of a wedding, I just think is just beautiful. So we do have to be thoughtful and put on our, you cannot just be say no the day before. Oh, I'm sorry. And then you can, you know, fill in the blank. I won't be there.
Right.
That is just, unless you're dying, unless, you know, you're in the hospital dying or having a baby or, you know, one of these major events, that's the only thing that's acceptable.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable to just say like a week ahead or even two weeks ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There is a deadline. There is etiquette and we need to be mindful of that because there, again, it's all about the bride and groom.
Yeah.
Well, and I know that you had an even smaller wedding than we had.
Yes.
So we had about, I think 85, I think we invited 120.
Mm-hmm.
And we initially were at 100. And then I think we ended up having 85 that actually attended the ceremony. But you even had a smaller ceremony than that. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, towards the end, you know, if I was getting, you know, RSVP no or like decline invites to the wedding, it was a little unnerving because it's like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
We've invited all these people here.
That's
it's a destination wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is set up. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, is no one going to show up? I mean, honestly, getting married, that was my ultimate fear, was that no, it kind of brought me back to high school a little bit. Like in high school of like, am I throwing this big party and like no one's
going to come?
Party?
Right.
Yeah.
Like it kind of brings you back into your like high school years. If you're like, does no one like me?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Because
it sounds ridiculous, but you know,
right.
No, I mean, I think, so we had 40 people we invited, 43. Mm-hmm. And so the three that didn't show up were friends of mine. And I can't remember. I will give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they declined in a reasonable timeline. Mm-hmm. But we had such a small number of people at the wedding that we barely met the minimums for the catering. So even if 20 people dropped out, like, we were still paying the same amount of money because I think the cutoff was 50 people and we were still way under that no matter what. So it wasn't like we were, it wasn't a hardship for us money-wise if people, you know, fell off.
Right.
But it was hurtful personally because I feel like you, when you have such a small wedding, you're hand picking people and not picking other people who, you know, that in any other situation, you would probably, like, cousins and things, like, didn't invite cousins, you know what I mean? So, like, people were left out and they were hurt, and I did have to address that. And, so then the people that I did invite that didn't come, it really did hurt my feelings because I had cousins who I was close to that I had to explain why I didn't invite them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet then these friends that I held in, you know, closely that, you know, they didn't come. And the reasons that they didn't come in were, in my opinion, quite lame.
Mm-hmm.
So they were not good enough reasons to not come.
Like I said, even if you're not in the hospital dying, there's honestly no reason not to show up at a wedding.
Yeah. Even if the reply is in a timely fashion, like, I'm sorry, but there are just certain reasons to not attend a wedding that I don't abide. And so personally, their reasons were reasons that I don't think were good.
Were good reasons.
But that's also the gamble that you take when you do a destination wedding, right?
So I guess kind of leading into what you were just saying, at that point in time, where do your friendships with these people go? You know, like, do your friendships continue on? Mm-hmm. Is that someone that you no longer have in your life over one day, you know, or I guess, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, for me personally, there was definitely a bit of a ripple in our friendships. It might've happened anyway because I was moving. So, you know, I was going to be leaving the Bay Area and moving to Athens. And so our relationship probably would have started to kind of, you know, not peter out, but just become less frequent in terms of communication.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that might've been a natural progression anyway, but the whole wedding thing, it really did sort of move that along in a quicker way. And I don't necessarily want to feel, I don't necessarily want to be petty over it at all because I very much value and, you know, hold those people still as folks that I really had, you know, nice relationships with and stuff. So it's not, the relationship isn't dead necessarily, but I do think it can put a strain on, on a friendship.
Which just goes back to being thoughtful, being
absolutely,
you know, prizing your friendships, putting another person ahead of you or what you prefer to do or not do. And we've all been there with destination weddings or just weddings in general,
or maybe they are, but
and there is an amount of monetary expense that you are going to incur. And so, but when you take a look at it, that there again, it's a celebration of a new beginning, a man and a woman that's decided to join and become one.
Their biggest day,
their
probably
biggest day.
I mean, and until they have a child, maybe if they do, that is their biggest day really between the two of them. I think when it comes to weddings, and I don't know if a lot of people do this, but for me personally, and when it comes to attending weddings, I'm honored if I'm invited to a wedding because I know that I was hand selected out of a ton of people to be able to attend.
Right.
But B, I put myself in their shoes and I'm like, wow, would I be disappointed if this person didn't come?
Right.
You know what I mean? And more than likely, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think a lot of people that maybe do either decline for whatever reason it is or back out last minute, I really do in their head think that they just go, you know, oh, they won't notice if I'm not there.
Right.
That's the first thing that the bride and groom notice.
Right.
Yeah.
We had, so I will say we did have one no show
Oh,
and
really?
No text.
Oh, really?
And, And I do, I think that was exactly what this person thought, is I think they thought
they won't notice.
They won't notice.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I noticed at cocktail hour. Mm-hmm. I looked around, I go, who's here?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, and
that's right.
I think a lot of people just don't realize that.
They don't. And I really liked what you brought up, Chelsea, that it's an honor to be invited to a wedding, and I'll never, ever, ever forget. So as I said, it was really kind of my mom's wedding. I mean, I really deferred to her, like, just so many ways. I mean, of course, I invited the people that I wanted and loved, but it was a lot to do with my mom and dad. And but I was taken aback. So I had worked in a law firm one summer, and it was such a fun job. I was a receptionist and just really fun. And I got to know everybody and the attorneys, and they really kind of took me under their wing because I was like, you know, 20 something. And there was one of the attorneys, because I did invite many of the people from the law firm that I become very, very friendly with. But I didn't invite everybody because in my head, I was thinking, oh, I didn't really know them well enough to invite them. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget. So he was, you know, he was probably in his 50s, 60s, and he was a tax attorney and just really such a sweet person, such a sweet man, but, you know, not married. Anyway, just to make this a little bit shorter of a story, I didn't invite him thinking, oh gosh, I didn't really know him well enough to invite him. And he came back to me. He actually bought a lovely wedding gift for me, but he actually followed up with this. He's like, Beth, I was so hurt that you didn't invite me.
Oh my goodness.
And I was just like, nothing is ever, I mean, it's still, you know, 40 years later, it just pierces me, because it actually, for the first time, I was like, okay, I need to be thoughtful about who would like to be included. And, and I, so I just hearken it back to you. It really is an honor to be invited to a wedding. So we really should have that attitude.
Yeah.
And that, yes, you do only have a finite number of people that you can invite.
Right. So if you're choosing, you're choosing.
You're choosing wisely. And I think people don't take that into consideration.
Right. Yeah. And they don't. And so, yeah, so that was a big lesson for me.
Yeah.
And he was very kind and thoughtful too, because he still wanted to celebrate my wedding, even though he hadn't been invited. And he was also thoughtful enough to bring it to my attention.
Well, and to give a gift.
I know, right?
And actually, that brings me into
I really wanted to cry. And I was just like, you know,
what? Well, I might have,
I really, really did. Because yes, it is it's a celebration. Mm-hmm. And people truly do love to be included.
Yeah.
They do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
so the ones that don't want to come or don't want to, you know, don't want to show up, then I do think, and maybe that's your next question, I do think then you have to reevaluate that friendship.
Well, I mean, it can be a kind of a shocking revelation to realize, like, oh my gosh, like, out of the 30, you know, people that I chose to be here, you're choosing not to. And I don't know. I did really, though, kind of as a salve, had the fact that our wedding was destination.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So I really, and it's not as though these particular folks had to spend a lot of money to get there. And we actually were paying for the lodging.
You did.
So,
everything was picked up. It was just your guests actually.
They only had to pay for airfare and a rental car. Mm-hmm. So we won't get into the details.
However,
it's, you know, it can be, I think it can be a trying moment in a friendship.
I think it's just a matter of it, you know, if you eventually want to address it, then you can.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then that's fine too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, and personally, I think if they don't address it as well, then that tells you something
about
what they think about the friendship as well.
That's a good point.
But so actually my next question wasn't about the friendship, but it was in regards to, so you had mentioned that he gave you a gift and he didn't come to the wedding.
No.
So I had people that were actually not invited to the wedding from Pure Bar, where I teach, and that gave me a gift as well. And I thought that was so sweet.
That is very sweet.
And my question, though, is what is your thoughts on gifting in a wedding? Like, when you go to a wedding, what do you gift?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the appropriate thing to gift? And then also, does that vary if it's destination or if it's a wedding that is not destination, where you're not spending air travel and hotel fees.
All the extras.
And,
Right. All the extras. Well, I think the rule of thumb is whatever the bride and groom are paying for your place at the wedding. Mm-hmm. So say it ends up like it's $250, you know, for your place setting at the wedding or $150 or whatever it is. That's generally the rule of thumb. But nowadays, I mean, it's, and even in my day, I mean, we had a wedding registry and, you know, so you went and you registered all the things that you wanted. So it was very easy for people to just go and buy. And back then it was like more what was in their budget and their budget rather than what the bride and groom are spending on you.
Yeah.
So I think, that's just a really good rule of thumb. And I think a lot of times nowadays people really just want, they have a honeymoon fund. And so that's one of the things. So I think you also then have to be thoughtful because it's not like, I mean, in my day, the China, the Christmas, you know, I mean, we were going for all of those old school items. Oh, we have our everyday plates and we have our formal plate. You know, we had all of these things, you know, to build, to start building your castle.
Yeah.
Building your castle up with all of these things that nobody wants.
Well, you know,
you want my China? Probably not.
Actually, anyway. But the thing
she's
about
she's like,
that,
actually, I do. I do.
I've had my eye on that for a while now. No, but I will say, you know what the big difference though in that is that in your time, and not even just in your time, in various pockets around the world, I'm sure this is still the case, but like, people didn't live together before marriage.
No.
So nowadays, everybody lives together before
Everyone
marriage.
Everyone already has stuff.
I know.
Stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
I
you
know.
Already have your
you already have
set.
Your pepper mill.
Yeah.
Yes.
You already have well, that's why we did a honeymoon skillet. Fund.
You
was
have,
because
you have your cocktail glasses already. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could get nice china, but will we ever use it?
Right.
Why?
Probably not.
I mean,
when I also
think that's gone out of fashion is just use the good china every day.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
So there isn't the separation between the two.
Right.
But the fact that people move in together before they get married means that registry list is very different probably than what it would have been.
And that's a good point. And then going back to our original conversation about how weddings have changed, you know, through the years.
Yeah.
And now because people are getting married later in life or choosing not to even get married at all. So many things have changed.
Right.
They really, really have. So our registries have changed. Our, I mean, yes, absolutely everything. So from 1983 to, and you're married in 2023.
Yeah.
You want a honeymoon fund. That wasn't even an option. I mean, I actually, I'm kind of looking back. I'm like, no.
People would have probably looked at
China
you crazy.
Or honeymoon, right? I mean, that would have
well,
been.
Well, they would have probably like just. That. Said, what is a honeymoon?
I know
fund?
They would have.
Yeah.
They would have been like, no, I'm sorry, we're getting the crystal.
But the thing that I like about the honeymoon fund too is that even if you don't go on a honeymoon, you can use that money to recoup the expense of the wedding.
Expense of the wedding,
right?
So,
exactly.
I
do.
It makes it a lot easier for it to be the most like, practical gift of all time.
Yeah.
So. No, totally. And I mean, so we did use our honeymoon fund for the actual honeymoon.
You did. I know.
Which I personally was very happy about because I feel like I've talked to a lot of my friends that got married. And then when I feel like we've talked about this,
well,
you never go on a honeymoon.
If you postpone it, actually.
That's right. If you postpone your wedding,
been on
there's a good chance that you might not take that honeymoon.
Well, we got our house renovated first. Like we had priorities, right? Like we could have gone on a honeymoon and I'm sure it would have been amazing, but we really had a priority of getting our house in order before we did that. So that was just a choice that we made. And I'm glad we did because it was worth it.
But I feel like a lot of people are making that choice now where they will wait or
and then things
they want to
well
do
gosh
a big trip.
I mean if it's a question of having a wedding and then either A going on a honeymoon or B buying a house together, wouldn't you rather buy a house? Like
right.
And that's exactly actually what I told Andrew is because since we did pay for the majority of our wedding, honestly, had we not bought a house a year prior to having the wedding, there's no way that I would have even thought to pay what we did, you know what I mean? When we had the wedding. not that I didn't want the wedding, but I just, in knowing that we had already taken that down payment and had already purchased the house and done the big expense, it eased my mind a little bit more going into the wedding saying, okay, you know, could we buy something else with this? Sure. But I feel better about spending this money for this wedding because of this, you know, because we already bought the house. And I think to your point, a lot of people do get married first and then buy the house. And
I think that's what we used to do. But there again, I will just, I'll make this point. What was prevalent in my generation. So we got married, got the dog, got the house. And now I think it goes the opposite. I think you get the dog, you buy the house, then you get married.
That's
I think that's very common for those that want to get married. And so there again, then you already, and we're choosing to get married later in life. So you already have many of the things in your household purchased.
Purchased,
The whole dynamic is really, really changing. It really, really is. Yes.
Which is interesting because I feel like, I don't know if this is true and I don't know what the statistics are on this, but I feel like a lot of people that probably got married back in the 80s maybe did actually have longer marriages than people that get married today, which is interesting because you would think that someone that buys the dog together that
would stay together,
prior to getting married, that then gets together, married, would actually have more of an idea of what they're getting into before they get married. But,
well, that's a whole other topic that we can cover in future episodes. So is there anything else we want to talk about with weddings, wedding etiquette, or?
Well, so I did want to ask, so what advice do you have for a newly married couple moving forward from their wedding day?
Well, looking back all those years ago to 1983, I shared this in a blog post a few years ago. When I look back at our wedding photos, and I just think, oh my gosh, we were just kids.
Yeah.
We're just kids on a wing and a prayer. Honestly, seriously. I was 25, Mac was 31, and we had no idea, which is great. You don't have any idea of, you know, what's lying ahead of you. But I think one of the things that I would advise anyone is to, you know, to keep that romance alive, to keep your relationship alive, to bring fun. You're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days. I mean, that's, we all know this with life. That's just, that's the cycle of life. So you have to be able to keep your, I guess your married life just alive. Because it's a living organism. It truly, truly is. A relationship is a living organism. And so you have to keep it fresh. You have to keep it fun. Of course, you're going to traverse those trials together, but that actually just brings you closer together.
Right.
When you go through a very serious trial and you go from A to B and you're not sure if you're going to, you know, make it to B, that just brings you even closer together. But I think it's just, honestly, if I have any advice, it's just to keep it fun, keep it light, and keep the other person always kind of in front of you. I mean, that sounds very old-fashioned, then I'm not in any way saying that you ever forget who you are as a person, but when you actually can put the other person's needs and wants above yours, it's actually very rewarding. It really, really is.
Yeah.
And then because you will also find that then they will be doing that to you too.
Yeah, they respond in kind.
They really, really do. So it's a living organism. It truly is. It's just like every decade of life has its own surprises, you know, that come along with it. So you have to be flexible and go along for the ride.
Yeah.
I really, really do.
I love that.
Yeah. Flexibility.
All right, ladies. Okay. Well, stay tuned for next week because we drop podcasts every week and we are busting the myth that mothers-in-laws are not necessarily monsters-in-laws, right? Okay. So, of course, we want you to hit the subscribe button on this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll see you again next week.